You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 9th, 2021, President Biden arriving, as you heard, in the UK, beginning some of his foreign trip. But he's already making waves. He's already giving gifts. He just signed an executive order revoking President Trump's ban on the Chinese-owned apps TikTok and WeChat. Trump had ordered them shut down and not being used in the U.S. and offered by U.S. app stores because there was concern they were being used to mine American data privacy or national security. And there have been court battles underway because of that. Well, Biden's order puts an end to the court battles, just says, no, we're going to go ahead and let them do it again. He's making friends with the Chinese. Do you think he's going to talk to the Chinese at any point about COVID, the China flu that came out of Wuhan, and hold them responsible? Do you think he's going to get tough with them at any point at all? Do you think? You're not holding your breath for that, are you? That's not going to be good for your health. In the meantime, House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy is pushing forward numerous proposals that would allow Americans to sue the Chinese Communist Party for wrongful death if a loved one died of coronavirus or for damages to their business if they suffered during the pandemic. This would have to be enabled either by amending the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act or passing a statute with a standalone private right of action, allowing you to file such a suit. Congress did something similar for family members of 9/11, if you recall, allowing them to sue the Saudi Arabian government. It went through Congress, wide bipartisan support, but then President Obama vetoed it. Congress later overruled Obama's veto, putting it into law, but we'll see what happens with this thing. In the meantime, Biden is also making friends with Putin because he's supposed to meet him as the last day of his trip. He's already said, we're not going to try to stop your pipeline from Russia into Germany. Because I want to make friends with Germany and Europe and, of course, you, Mr. Putin. And Trump was accused of Russian collusion. Remember that? Well, Republican senators led by Senator Risch, who's a ranking member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, are demanding the Biden administration account for the number of jobs killed by the Keystone XL pipeline. Legislation introduced today demanding that something be done. He said, why is it bad for the U.S. to have access to natural gas, but it's okay for Russia? Excellent point. And in the meantime, of course, we still have the concern about COVID, but we seem to be coming out of it, do we not? And Dr. Anthony Fauci begging Americans, please, please get vaccinated. He's talking about a Delta variant that's showing up. He said it's a dominant variant greater than 60% in the UK, which is where Biden is now. Was that a good idea? And, of course, can we trust Dr. Fauci on this piece of information, or will it change tomorrow? There are a lot of Americans who've had one shot. They're not going to get the second one. Others have said, I'm not going to get it at all. I was talking to a friend last night, said, I don't have any plans to get it. In the meantime, can you be fired for not having it? Well, 170 hospital workers in Houston suspended for refusing to take the coronavirus vaccine, and they'll be fired in 2 weeks if they continue to say, no, not going to do it. Those employees did file a lawsuit against the hospital saying you can't force us to get, quote, an experimental vaccine. You have to keep that in mind. We don't have any long-term effects of either of these. They were rushed to market. That's because we had to. And there have been some value. I have no doubt there's been some value. But we don't know long-term effects. We certainly don't know it when we start giving it to kids. Israel airstrikes launch into Syria, killing at least 11 government figures and allies, targeting the Syrian Air Force positions. And, of course, Syria blames Israel for that. The Northern California city of Oakland, ranked the second most dangerous city in the state, now beginning its guaranteed income program, randomly selecting families who are going to get $500, no strings attached, $500 a month for 18 months. You remember the video out of Chicago where a police car got surrounded and we had some teenage girls twerking and dancing on top of the squad car? Chicago police are making that a priority. Even though 55 Chicagoans were shot just last weekend, they are now putting a special team to find out who these girls are and arrest them. Priorities? Priorities?
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500, but say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I want to be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come. The United States will continue to enforce our laws and secure our border. And I believe if you come to our border, you will be turned back.
Yes, I wanted to play that again for you because that's VP Harris the other day in Guatemala as she made her first foreign trip, standing with the president of Guatemala, saying we're telling anyone who's thinking from the Northern Triangle, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, coming to our border, do not come, do not come. I believe you will be turned back. Not saying you will be turned back, not saying the border is closed, not saying we're shutting down sanctuary cities and states where you might find refuge once you get here, which should involve her home state of California, where she was once attorney general. She just mouthed the words. Nothing behind it to back it up. Nothing. And the Guatemalan president had said before she arrived, the problem is not climate change, as they would have you believe, or even economic conditions. It's because the Biden-Harris team made it clear once they were sworn in, the border's open. And he blamed them for that. But he was willing to take his share of what he can from the $4 billion they're going to be passing out to the Northern Triangle countries. That's U.S. taxpayer dollar, not including any corporate donations. Yeah, the Biden-Harris team, they've got a lot of corporate groups coming together to say, yes, we will help. We will send money down to help people stay in those countries. Who do you think is really going to get their hands on that money, honestly? And what was accomplished? Because after then, she leaves and goes to Mexico City to meet with the Mexican president. She said, we discussed a lot of things, and talk more about our U.S. investments in Mexico and the Northern Triangle during this two-day trip. But she did not, she admits she did not discuss one of the key points, and that would be Mexico refusing to take back some migrant families when they are turned away from the U.S. Didn't even bring that subject up. Yeah, we have, even during the Biden-Harris administration, in the beginning, we were turning away some. I don't know if we're now doing it at all, but they didn't even bother raising that question with the Mexican president. It's a key thing. And she's saying, listen, I'm just here to deal with the real issues here. She said, I'm here because we're going to tackle the root causes of the migrant surge. Well, the root causes, according to her and Biden, also include climate change and also AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Congresswoman New York, along with Rashida Tlaib, Congresswoman Michigan, who say part of the problem is the climate. And AOC did not like Harris even standing there telling these migrants, do not come. Do not come. AOC said, this is disappointing to see. And blaming the U.S., of course, for all the problems that exist in that part of the world. Adding, we can't set someone's house on fire and then blame them for fleeing. No, Harris was there to deal with the root causes. And in an interview with Lester Holt of NBC, she explained how she sees this entire scenario, and she tries to bring it down to something that you might not know a lot of diplomacy. You might not know all the activities and mechanics of dealing with a foreign government. So let's put it on a very simple term. It's like basically it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's all over again. Let's pull off our shoes and put on our sweater and say, welcome, neighbor. Will you be my friend? Just listen.
It's simply about understanding, if nothing else, that the return on our investment is the same return on your investment that if you have a neighbor on your block where you grew up who's having a hard time, it's in the best interest not only of your neighbor but yourself to help them out, right? And that's how we think about this work. What is the United States' interest in this? We're prepared to show up and do it in a way that is motivated by the best interest of diplomacy and democracy and goodwill.
So how quickly does this change what we see at the border?
There's not going to be a quick fix. We're not going to see an immediate return, but we're going to see progress. The real work is going to take time to manifest itself. Will it be worth it? Yes. Will it take some time? Yes.
There goes the air out of that balloon. My God, I got all excited. It's going to be like our neighbor. We're going to make everything happen. We're going to make it happen. It's going to take time. It's not going to happen immediately. I will grant that. I will give her that. And yes, anything anyone does here, be it Trump or anyone else in the White House, dealing with Latin America, Central America, trying to deal with this issue, it would take time, at least by the way they're going about it. However, if they would simply reinstate Trump's rules, it would come to a halt right then. Mexico would have to continue to keep them in their country. If they're seeking asylum into the U.S., they have to stay in Mexico. And we would say the border is closed. We're not letting you in. And the White House, after you heard Harris say, do not come, do not come. I believe you will be turned back. The White House had to issue a clarification statement. The senior advisor and chief spokesperson to the vice president said, the president and vice president have been clear in dissuading people from making the dangerous and treacherous journey to the U.S.-Mexico border. They have not. They have not. He goes on to say, we encourage those who want to come to the U.S. to do so legally. Well, they don't. They can actually talk out of both sides of their mouths. They're actually a real ventriloquist. Sit on somebody's knee, watch the mouth move, but the voice comes from the person holding them. Oh, in the midst of this, by the way, they kind of got taken. They actually got taken during her visit to Mexico. And by that, I mean there was a reporter supposedly claiming to be with Univision who was called upon to ask a question because Harris was conducting a press conference in Mexico. 70-plus days did not talk to U.S. reporters, but decided down there I'll open up a press conference. And mainly, of course, she did the sit-down with NBC, Lester Holt, but this was a chance for foreign reporters to ask questions because they certainly expect them to be polite, respectful, not challenging, right? Well, that's exactly what she got. And in fact, when the person was called upon, before she even said anything about raising a question, as the reporter is called upon, right after Harris had just finished meeting with the Mexican president, she turned to supposedly Maria Fernanda of Univision. And Fernanda went on to tell Harris, "It's my honor to even ask a question." And then she said, "I voted for you. I'm a naturalized citizen in the U.S. I got to vote for you the first time. I voted for you." Well, that kind of sets up a question, doesn't it? What else can we say? What, do you like ice cream like Joe Biden does? Do you have a cat? The Bidens have a cat. Do you have a cat? Do you like dogs? Did you get any tacos while you're here in Mexico? They're very good. The question finally got around to, what would you say to these women, these mothers, also women of color on both sides of the border, farmers, many of them who I see every day, as a message of hope, but also as what will you do for them in the next coming years? Well, the praise from the media was, oh, that's a good, fair question and very timely. But it turned out she is not a reporter for Univision. She later admitted, the moderator called me on that and said I was a reporter for Univision. The moderator said it, and I got caught up in the moment. I was surprised to be called upon. I didn't bother correct it. My name was correct, but I'm just not with Univision. Univision did later confirm, yeah, the woman has no relationship with us. But we have a Univision reporter named Maria Fernanda Lopez, based in Miami. Don't let the facts interfere, but most importantly, she got to say, I am a naturalized U.S. citizen, and I got to vote for you, Vice President. I voted for you. Isn't that nice? Yeah, sure it is. And, of course, we still have the question that Lester Holt, I gave him props yesterday for raising it. I'm going to do it again. In fact, my brother down in Texas, after hearing the question Lester Holt raised, he said, Lester better worry about the IRS coming after him. I got it, my brother. I got the joke, yeah. And based off of my Obama interview, that's what he's trying to talk about. But let's just deal with this. We'll go down that rat hole. But bottom line is, Lester Holt did ask Harris that question. I'll let you hear some of it yesterday. I want you to hear more, because I told you she acts totally clueless. You know she's not clueless on this point. But she figures Lester will play along with it. And to his credit, no, he didn't. And when it's all said and done, she looks pretty, the word begins with S, S-T-S-T-U, well, I'll let you spell it out. Let's go to the question and the response.
Okay. Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
Well, I mentioned it because I know Republicans have certainly come at you on this, but Democratic Congressman Cuellar has a border district, has said to you and the president, come. You need to see this.
Listen, I care about what's happening at the border. I'm in Guatemala because my focus is dealing with the root causes of migration. There may be Some who think that that is not important, but it is my firm belief that if we care about what's happening at the border, we better care about the root causes and address them.
Okay. Our bad. Sorry we even raised it. So you haven't been to European borders either. Okay, well, we won't bother you with that question in the future. How ridiculous was that entire answer? Let me clarify something for you, though. I'll be very direct about it. Her going to the border will not change anything. You know that, and I know that. And yes, it's become a cause celeb for the conservatives and even some Democrats. It's a, why won't you go to the border and see firsthand? And she did go when she was a campaigner and when she was in California. She went to the border. I mean, you know, she prays and basically said, if you get across the border, come on into California, because we're in a sanctuary state, don't you know? And when she was a candidate, yes, went to the border. And she went down there when Trump was in office to look at all the cages these kids were in, same cages that Obama used. So she has been to the border. She's right about that. And going to the border will not change a damn thing. But at the same time, her insistence, I don't need to go, I'm dealing with the real root causes, which are climate change and stuff like that. All right, let's go another direction in the next segment. Hunter Biden's laptop continues to reveal some things that are very, very embarrassing for him and Daddy Joe. The use of the N-word repeatedly. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Do you remember the story going around constantly with the, at that time, mainstream media when Trump was in office, that Trump had used the N-word? You remember that? Everybody's looking for tape for it. CBS reported in 2018 that a disgruntled White House staffer claimed that Trump staffers were aware of such a tape. Staffers later said, no, there's no such tape. Comedian Tom Arnold even went on a vast search for tapes, going through the NBC Apprentice program where Trump supposedly said the N-word, never found the tape. But they continue to say that's what he does, that's what he did. At the same time, ignoring that Joe Biden, when he was a Democrat senator, often used the N-word, but he would use it in attribution to some other people. He would be referring to some of his less educated constituency in Delaware in a 1973 hearing. He used the word, but not, he wasn't using it. He was quoting someone else and saying it, but went ahead and used the word in full. No problem for Joe. Probably not going to be a problem here, not now with the state-controlled media. Hunter Biden and that laptop continues to show multiple things this guy did. Now the word's been released, according to the Daily Mail, that there was a text that might have been on the laptop or elsewhere, talking to a corporate attorney, Hunter Biden referring to this corporate attorney about having a big, you can imagine. Anyway, he said to the lawyer, I only love you because you're black and you a true debt N-word. That's what he wrote in a text. Then in a text later to the Chicago lawyer, he wrote, how much money do I owe you? Because N-word, you better not be charging me Hennessy rates. Now, Hennessy, for those of you who are not schooled in whiskey and things of that nature, that's a very high-priced whiskey. It's I like Jack better, but whatever. But he went on to say, the lawyer replied, well, that kind of made me snarf my coffee. And Hunter added, well, that's what I'm saying, N-word. Then sent a picture, and the picture was a photo of Biden hugging Obama with a caption, where Obama is saying to Biden, gonna miss you, man. And Joe is saying, can I say it just this once? And Obama says, oh, go ahead. And then Joe in this text message under this caption says, you my N, Barack. Do you think you're going to see a lot of that coverage on the state-controlled media? Did I waste my breath and your time with such a question? Of course I did. Howsomever, Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump, the adult sons of the former Trump, Donald Trump president, I should say, said, you know, if we had done that, Donald Trump Jr. said they would lose their damn minds. It would be the number one story on CNN, NNN, MSNBC, and the usual outlets for weeks straight. He added Don Lemon. And all the usual suspects would go nuts, but amazingly, they're 100% silent. Don Jr. said the bottom line is the left is not intellectually honest about racism. They use it when they can for political gain. When it serves no purpose, it's totally ignored. It's a shame that they take something so serious so lightly and in essence make a mockery of all those afflicted. Eric Trump had a similar response. He said, I raised $30 million for children dying of cancer at St. Jude before the age of 30. And the media portrays me as a villain. He said Hunter Biden smokes crack, uses horrible racist rhetoric, sells his father's influence around the world to enrich himself, yet he's praised by the media while writing books titled Beautiful Things. Give me a break. He's right. Anybody who has a relative, a child, a parent, friend that's hooked on drugs and so forth, I feel for you and for them, but if they're an adult, they made that choice. We all know, even by Hunter's own words, he struggled with substance abuse. He even admitted at one point he was smoking anything that resembled crack cocaine, including Parmesan cheese. That's pretty hooked. Before we wrap up today, I want to talk about students supposedly ordered to pick cotton as a school assignment. But before that, the head of Department of Homeland Security says you cannot use the word illegal alien. You show more dignity. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable. But we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We issued a directive that the term illegal alien should not be used unless one is citing to the particular statutory language that exists, but we should refer to those individuals as non-citizens to reflect that their lawful presence or their unlawful presence in the United States does not define their dignity as individuals, but is separate and apart from that fundamental question.
You just heard the head of the Department of Homeland Security tell you we're striking the word illegal alien because it's not a dignified term and we're defining people and ruining their dignity by calling them that, even if they are here illegally. We have a lot of immigrants in this country that came legally, so you cannot call them an illegal alien. And we do call them immigrants, or, you know, hopefully to be future U.S. citizens. Every year we allow about 1 million to enter our nation legally. And we have something like 2 million visa workers we allow in every year. And the guy you were just listening to, Alejandro Mayorkas, who is the head of Department of Homeland Security, in April allowed another 90,000 additional economic migrants into the U.S. Legal immigration is built into our system. And here you have the head of Department of Homeland Security saying you shan't call anyone who comes across the border illegally an illegal immigrant unless you're referring to the actual law. Well, damn it, that's what I'm referring to. The law says you're here illegally. That makes you an illegal immigrant. This is the head of Department of Homeland Security. Let me give you some background on him real quick. He is an American lawyer, serving now as our 7th U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security, has since February 2. During the Obama administration, he also served in the Homeland Security Department as a Director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services and also a Deputy Secretary. He was born in Havana, Cuba. His family fled after the Cuban Revolution to Florida, and then he later settled in California. He is a refugee. And we welcome those folks from Cuba trying to get away from what was happening in the communist Cuba at that point. He graduated from UC Berkeley in California with history, in history with honors. Later got his JD from the Loyola Marymount University. After law school, became an assistant U.S. attorney, served as a U.S. attorney for the Central District of Columbia in L.A. during Bill Clinton's administration and George W. Bush. He knows the law. He's been a refugee, and obviously dignity of people is important to him, as it should be for all of us. We should treat everyone with dignity. But if you're here illegally, you're illegal. It's as simple as that. If you were born an American, you're an American. You don't want to be an American? Well, go to another country and take another citizenship. But while you're here and you're born an American, you are an American citizen. Unless you came, a mother who was illegal got in the country, and then you're born here, well, then you become an anchor baby, which is what Trump was trying to stop as well, because we had that repeatedly. But the guy who is head of Department of Homeland Security knows the law, and he just told you we're not going to use the term illegal alien unless you're referring to the law. I repeat again, damn it, that's what I am referring to, the law. Let me read you the mission statement from Department of Homeland Security as they write it on their page. The Department of Homeland Security has a vital mission to secure the nation from the many threats we face. This requires the dedication of more than 240,000 employees in jobs that range from aviation and border security. Border security? Oh, yeah, that's in there. To emergency response, from cybersecurity analyst to chemical facility inspector. Our duties are wide-ranging, and our goal is clear: keeping America safe. And adding, with honor and integrity, we will safeguard the American people, our homeland, our values. Not under this guy and the woke culture and the rest of them. They are ignoring the part where I just read to you. They're to secure the nation from many threats, which would include border security, to keep Americans safe, protect the American people, our homeland, our values. The Department of Homeland Security Secretary, not so big on that. I sat and watched. He was doing a presentation Oh, God, I should get some special honor for this. I swear to you, I should. If I'd had a bottle of Jack, I probably would have done that bottle and started a second one. But I'm going to be doing the best I can. He had a 2,100-word speech that he delivered, and it is so boring. And, oh, my God, he's even awake. Somebody check, does he have a pulse? But I sat there and I dove through it, trying to find the pieces I knew he had said by looking at the speech. And I mean, no one gave me a point as to it's at point 2.5 minutes in. No, I had to listen to every part of it almost to find it. As he gave this speech to the 2021 American Constitutional Society National Convention. And part of that, he's talking about dignity. In fact, the whole thing is talking about dignity. But here is a part where he's talking about the quality of dignity and the rule of law and how he sees Department of Homeland Security should be administering the mission I just read to you. Please listen.
So I asked, when we were in fact confronting difficult policy questions, the question of identity. What, as we struggled to reach an answer, what would the answer say about who we are and who we want to be? And I think that there are two foundational or guiding principles that really drive the answer. One is the concept, or actually the element, of dignity, and the other is the rule of law. Those are two foundational guideposts. As I seek to lead an agency, as we, as servants of the law, seek to bring justice in whatever we do. And here in the Department of Homeland Security, I think that must guide everything that we do.
Did you get that? Did it almost put you to sleep? I'm sorry. Hey, I had to put up with a lot more than you just heard. But what you got out of that is that when we were looking at policy issues we might just face, we looked at two things. How to deal with this and the people with dignity while enforcing the law. But they're not enforcing the law. They're enforcing dignity more than they're enforcing the law. And his duty is to protect America. The mission, again, I will read to you. Secure the nation. And they're not doing it. They're more concerned about dignity. They're more concerned about dignity of illegals than your dignity as an American. This is where we are. This open borders, it's the left version of an American empire, basically. Looking at a piece that was written about some of his speech, and it says, Mayorkas is not an academic, has a budget of more than $50 billion, and is using his bureaucratic and regulatory powers to pull many economic migrants through several small side doors in immigration law. Even as persecuted asylum seekers, stranded travelers, victimized children, those injured in such trips and so forth are being harmed in the process. Federal law describes illegal migrants as illegal aliens. But he just said, you can't do that. That's not showing dignity. So again, let's listen to his views on immigration.
In the issue of immigration, I think that we are trying to ensure that the lives of the families that were separated in the prior administration reflect the dignity that they have always had and that we then failed to recognize. And so we are reuniting the families with the sense of urgency that that mission deserves.
Listen, if someone's arrested for a crime, they've ruined their own dignity. They're being jailed and charged on a crime. You come across our border illegally, you have committed a crime. you ruin your own dignity to that extent that you, quote, are a lawbreaker. But I'm not that concerned about that issue. I'm concerned about the future of America. We got these woke leftists now trying to tell us we're more worried about dignity. And the woke culture, by the way, also going after women who bear children. Stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So the stories caught fire. They went viral right away. According to BET, Black Entertainment Network, black middle school students reportedly ordered to pick cotton. NPR, cotton picking lesson leaves black middle school students reeling in Spokane. ABC News, black students humiliated by cotton picking assignment. Drudge even, shock, black middle school students ordered to pick cotton. It's all false. False. And the mom of these two 14-year-old girls at the center of this storm pulled the girls out of class, out of school, demanding that the school administrator be removed because she said he wanted to segregate my girls in a room by themselves away from the white teacher. And told a local news station, for you to pass out cotton into my children, tell them essentially they're going to pick the cotton clean, it's a race who can get it clean first. That's bothersome. Under no circumstances do they need to be taught what it's like to be a slave or what it's like to be black. That wasn't the issue. The teacher did pull out a box of raw cotton and told the class, all of the class, we're going to have a fun activity. We're going to pick the cotton clean to see who can do it fastest. They were talking about cleaning cotton, not picking. Now, picking cotton would be out in the fields doing it. Yes, that is the basis for slavery in this nation, to support the South in that economic process. But the teacher was talking about what the cotton gin, when it came along, invented by Eli Whitney, I'm sure you know, basically put an end to the tedious, consuming, time-consuming labor involved in removing seeds from the cotton. So it was a matter of showing him how difficult, and the story context in line was about the cotton gin, how much it changed, industrialized the cotton industry. And then later, we actually had machinery that would pick the cotton. My dad picked cotton. His dad was, I don't know if he's a sharecropper at the time, but they were pretty dirt poor. His dad worked alongside black men and women and probably children picking cotton, and my dad started when he was a child out picking cotton. That's how they earned their money for whatever they were doing at that time. It was, yes, the basis for slavery. I'm not going to deny that. But a lot of white people also pick cotton. But in this case, they're not even picking cotton. They're cleaning the cotton, pulling the seed out to find out how difficult that is. And that's why by the Industrial Revolution, basically, and bringing the cotton gin, making it come into existence or creating it, saved a lot of time. But, of course, that didn't fit the narrative of what the left wants to say. And I'm looking at a piece on Hot Air, which is a blog account written by Karen Townsend. Why are the woke Democrats waging a war on women? Joe Biden, she writes, is embracing a particularly disturbing term for women who give birth. Most of us would call these women mothers. The woke insist on a new terminology, birthing people. Birthing people. Karen writes, just when we think the destruction of the English language can't get any worse, someone says, hold my beer and watch this. Birthing people. So I guess, well, we just had Birthing People Day. We have a Father's Day coming up. What are we calling them? Sperm Donor Day? I mean, what are we going to do with that one? This is where we are with the woke generation. And a survey just out finds that this is a American Survey Center. And you might know this for a fact. Democrats are twice as likely as Republicans to end a friendship over political disagreement. Political liberals far more likely than conservatives say, well, we're no longer going to be friends because of our political differences. I have a sister who is more to the left than I am. She was never a Trump supporter, condemned him royally. That's fine. She voted against him, obviously. But she's my sister. I have told you, and I hope you would take the same attitude, and I think most conservatives do. First of all, I can have a conversation with her. She can't have one with me. She's an intelligent woman. I'm not saying she's not capable, but they just can't. They just rush into emotions. No facts. So we just don't. I'm not going to lose a relationship with my sister over politics. It ain't going to happen. I'm not going to lose a friendship over politics. Now, if they want to walk away and not be engaging with me or friends or being a sister-brother relationship comes to an end, it's not my making, because I am not going to have family relations broken up or even a friendship like that. And did you hear what happened to Congressman and Navy SEAL veteran Dan Crenshaw? He was sparring with a Democrat opponent and talking about some arguments and debates and so forth when the Democrat candidate made a comment about Crenshaw's eye, because he called Crenshaw called Elizabeth Warren's tweets a blatant lie, and the Democrat said, you can't see the objective truth, and it's not because of your eyes. It's because of your nose up, your dear leader's you-know-what. Crenshaw lost an eye to a bomb fighting in Afghanistan. Had numerous surgeries, saved the other eye. He responded, actually, you said eyes, it's just eye, singular. She said, well, I ran out of characters in tweeting to say eyes or lack thereof. He said, bless your heart. Please pray for this woman. Bless your little cotton-picking heart. Oh, I can't say that. Cotton-cleaning heart. I'm sorry. As always, I appreciate you listening. Let your friends and neighbors know, and remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.